the segue to Trade HQ, because the club before and after the game were very adamant that Roughead is going nowhere. But like you said last week, Jay, it was just weird that we were talking about that his future before the season was over. But they've clearly fixed that in the last 48, 72 hours.
Well, it was Clarko himself who left the door open. He was the one who made a story about this when he said, look, Ruffy's got different options. One of them is to go to another club. If he, at that point, said what he said last night, he's staying, he's not going anywhere, then it wouldn't be a story. So really it came from the coach in the first place. I mean, he's not playing unbelievable footy, Ruffy. So on the field, I think next year there will be some question mark about his spot in the team. That will be a discussion. But really off the field, he adds so much, and especially to a new club, I think he would bring so much as well. So clubs will still ask about him in the next couple of weeks, but Clarko was emphatic last night and two nights ago and said probably what he should have said 3 weeks ago.
He was really, really firm on it, wasn't he? The question put to him was that if there were any more discussions that needed to be had, he gave a flat no. The discussions have been had and he'll be playing next year.
100%, he said. 100%.
So it was interesting, though, to hear him then talk about what they do need to add in terms of, you know, growing their bottom six organically, which we know how valuable a bottom six at a club is. But he just held nothing back, Clarko, in their, you know, aspirations to trade, draft, do whatever, you know, free agency.
Well, they've missed Tom Lynch, but they had a philosophy up until this year that they would never spend more than $690,000 a year on a player. If it didn't have a six in front of it, forget it. It was their mantra. That's why they didn't look at Dusty. But when Tom Lynch became available, they decided to change philosophy. They didn't get him, but they have a new philosophy that they're prepared to pay $800,000-$900,000 for a player. So is his name Dylan Scheel?
I am not sure he'll go to Hawthorn because he commands a $1.2 million salary as well. So I don't think Hawthorn will be in that ballpark. The one from left field for the Hawks could be Darcy Moore.
He is not a $1.2 million player, by the way.
I think Carlton have got that already written out on a big novelty-sized check.
I mean, he's a great player.
I drove past before. Steve Silvani's out the front waving it around.
Like come a Domino's on, guy Dylan. With the big sign at the traffic light.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. You know when you pull up at the lights and those people wash your windscreens? Dylan Scheel, a Royal Parade, pulls up and then Sauce comes across. Anyway.
Dylan, he would look good in a Carlton jumper.
They've been on him for years. Darcy Moore is the one who could come from left field because, if anything, Hawthorn do need that bolstering up the spine. You know, James Frawley, how long's he got left? Roughhead's coming to an end.
Sorry, so, Darcy Moore to Hawthorn.
Well, I'm just saying it could emerge from left field.
Oh, hello.
But they won't pay a first-round pick for him. It would have to be a second round pick, and I mean he's unsigned at Collingwood, and you'd have to think
that's
got a real.
That's the first time I've heard that. That is a. What about Paddy McCartan?
I think he's also gettable.
This is new.
We've buried
Hang
the
on.
I think Paddy is frustrated within himself about his development and the game plan at St Kilda. It's not all a happy situation down there. So,
how much of it's his own appetite to work, though, as opposed to the development system and that he's been exposed to?
He needs to work harder. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, diabetes is a bit of an issue there. But St Kilda having a very open
and
mind.
And concussions.
St Kilda having a very open mind. It would not shock me at all if he left this footy club at the end of the year, Paddy McCartan.
To Geelong.
No, I think that's less likely at this stage.
Right. Have you got a club?
I wonder about Sydney. I know his brother's up there, and he would potentially have to knock out his brother's spot.
His brothers, they don't need Tommy. His brother's a gun.
I think he could be on the move, Paddy.
Okay. Stephen May, it is just bizarre, this story going around that they could tear up his contract and make him a free agent, and therefore they get more draft picks. If that happens, I'll write it down as the 27th disgraceful thing to happen this year out of AFL House.
I don't think that will happen. That will not happen.
Well, where's that coming from?
Otherwise, everyone would just sort of do that. But it's worth, I guess, chatting about. I think you'll be at Collingwood. Stephen May, they're gunning hard for him. It's just the price tag. So in terms of what are they willing to give up, I think it'll be somewhere in between one and two first-round picks. So maybe one first-round pick and a couple of players like Adam Oxley, I don't know, maybe not James Aish, but that fringe type. Collingwood have ruled out parting two first-round picks for Stephen May. He'd be perfect for their back line.
I heard Kane Corn say there are going to be 40 players change clubs out of the 800 in the comp in this upcoming meat market. Jared Pollock, Lauren, will be one of those. He was interesting on the weekend, almost revealing that Port never made him an offer.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't he? Did an interview with the Nightly News, I think, wasn't it, over in Adelaide? I think maybe Channel 9 News. Channel 10. And then he took to AW. Yeah. So we know that he wants to get to North Melbourne. But it was a little, I wouldn't quite call it a drive-by, but
backhander.
It was a little bit of a nugget that sort of flew under the radar a bit, wasn't it?
Well, maybe because they just figured the money was, you know, way too much, but... Anyway, so he's going to North, Jay. Is that, we lock that in?
Yeah, and Chad Wingard is the really interesting one. So
St Kilda?
Or the Bulldogs. All the Bulldogs.
He'd be good there.
Couldn't rule out Hawthorn either on that front.
Why would they get rid of a player of his quality?
That is such a good question, and I just don't know whether they're happy with his attitude or his work ethic, his mindset, whether he cares enough. You know, that's sort of thing. I mean, he's clearly a very talented player. But clubs are inquiring about him, and if he does land at St Kilda Western Bulldogs, it'd be huge pickups in them. But you have to question Port Adelaide's whole build, because they bring in Motlop, Watts and Rockliffe, and now they're potentially in Trengove. Oh, no, they lost Trengove. Sorry, now they're bringing in. Excuse me. Now they're losing. Give up, Clarkie. Wingard. Anyway.
Lauren, have we got any other trade HQ, or can we move on?
Well, I think there's a bit of talk about Aaron Hall, Jay, across this, that he could be off to North as well. So it sounds like that war chest is finally... opening, finally. They just needed to get one, didn't they?
But you wonder if the biggest story on this front, even if, say, Gaff, Hall and Pollock go to North Melbourne, does that cost them Josh Kelly? I can't see them getting those three players.
And then Josh next year.
Well, I don't know. Like, it would be a Harry Houdini act if they can get those three guys and then add Josh Kelly on $1 million a year.
Well, Richmond have done it with Lynch. We were remiss not to mention Josh Kelly, weren't we? Their best player missing that game against Collingwood. Jeez.
You lose a soldier, you get a soldier.
Oh,
mate.
He's not just a soldier, mate. He's got four stripes.
E-class.
Easy game.
Just quickly, on him, right, if they're going to trade him, we've heard about players being worth two first-round draft picks. Would Josh Kelly be the first player in AFL history to be worth three first-round draft picks?
Oh. You're usually the calculating man, but off the top of my head, I don't think that would be overs. Having watched him live at the SCG on last Saturday,
she gets it, Mick.
He is just a freak. Who did you call a freak before? Scott Pendlebury, I think it was. Josh Kelly. I know we talk about in the media of who's a star and who's a superstar.
Yeah.
There's not only a few in the competition.
Well, all right.
Freak is probably just about another category, and Josh Kelly is one.
I think Jay and Lauren can apply for work at Gold Coast Suns and completely butcher a list.
Chris Judd was
three
worth...
first round picks for one player.
Chris Judd was worth, what was it, pick three?
Yeah.
Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, and how'd that work out for Carlton, by the way?
Pick 16 or something. Yeah. Anyway.
No players worth three first-round picks.
Just sort of throw it up. Talk about the Cats trading situation.
Yeah, actually, talk to us about this, Jay, because I know you've written it for the Herald Sun, the picks. This is something that I have really struggled to understand in recent years, and loopholes and pick trading and all this sort of stuff. So can you just give it to us? Obviously, we're heading into trade period pretty shortly. There's a lot of news around picks and players and moving and all that sort of stuff. So can you just give it to us in layman's terms of how this actually works?
It's taken me 5 days and 20 phone calls, including... five back to the same person to work this out.
But, they're horrible, aren't they? Me again.
We really need to just sort this out.
Explain it to me one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, about that thing you said earlier. Anyway, so what happens is you are only restricted on trading your future first-round pick. So any club who has had less than two first-round picks in the past four previous drafts...
Like Geelong.
From next year, could possibly. Possibly this could affect Geelong, mm-hmm. depending on what they do this trade period. But really, it will never impact your first-round pick in this year's draft. So you could still trade this year's first-round pick 10 years in a row.
Right.
No dramas. What it does is it could stop you from trading your future first-round pick. That's what they get a little bit scared about. It's to stop sort of haphazard...
blowing yourself up.
Yeah,
Gold Coast Sun style.
Exactly. But really, there's a massive loophole in this anyway, because there's a disclaimer, and that is you can still get special exemption anyway under application. So it doesn't matter.
So the whole thing's just a joke, is what you're saying, really. Well, it's like the free agency compensation system that we don't know what it is. We'll just tell you.
The secret herbs and spices.
Yeah, the same one they used to come up with the 18-metre goal square.
Favourite colour of the AFL.
It is
grey.
It is really hard to restrict the club's trading when you go back over the past 10 years and see that the most successful club in the past 10 years, Hawthorn, done it exactly that way, by trading. So... Yeah. you know, they're the gold standard and you're trying to restrict exactly what they want to do.
There's only one thing that makes good footy clubs, and that is good people. You can have more picks than a box of confetti, but if you don't have the right people, and I'm talking about the Gold Coast Suns again and Carlton up until recently, they're starting to sort it out in the boardroom, etc.